another 666 ABC Canberra podcast. To subscribe to any of our podcasts, go to abc.net.au/Canberra.
Heading to Keeper's Company on 666 Breakfast is ABC journalist Laura Chilingirian. So we thought before she begins her 6 weeks with us on 666 next week, we take the time to get to know Laura a little because she knows Canberra pretty well. And Laura Chilingirian joins me from a Sydney TARDIS. Hi, Laura.
Hi, Alex. Nice and carefully pronounced there.
Now, am I doing it right?
Perfect.
Truly? Such a fabulous... Look, once you get your... It's a fabulous name.
Once you get your tongue around it, exactly.
What's the heritage of the name?
Armenian.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you're Sydney born and bred, aren't you?
I am Sydney born and bred. I'm the only one of my sisters that is Sydney born and bred. So the rest of them were all born other places of the world.
Oh, fantastic. And you're one of five, is that right?
I am one of five girls, my poor father. So
he was blessed.
Yep, yep. Two big sisters born in Egypt, two big sisters born in Sudan, in Africa, and then me born in good old Sydney.
And Western Sydney, you grew up in Western Sydney, is that right?
I did grow up in Western Sydney, yeah. In Mount Druitt, in Bidwell, to be precise.
So you're a bit of a classic Australian story.
I am. My parents, moved over here about 6 months before I was born. So, and grew up going to the same school, went from kindergarten right through to year 12 at the same school.
Tell us about your parents.
Mum was born in Egypt, in Cairo. In 1932, and she, grew up with eight brothers and sisters herself, and she's a beautiful woman, full of character and life, and she's still lots of fun at 84. And my father was born about 6 months later in Turkey, in Istanbul, but they're both of Armenian heritage, and they met, I think, got married at the age of 19, and decided to stay in Cairo for a little while. They had their two kids there, and then they moved on to Sudan in Africa, in Khartoum, and they had another two children there, and eventually moved to Turkey for 9 years, lived there in Istanbul, and then moved on. This is a big story. They did a lot of moving around before they got to me. Then they moved on to Paris and lived in Paris for a year and worked very hard there. Dad used to be a jeweller. So he owned a jewellery store in the big famous Turkish market. In fact, he's got a little snippet cameo in From Russia with Love. He walks right past Sean Connery. Oh. he was just going to the bathroom at the time.
But you'll freeze it.
Yes, I always do.
In a nutshell, what was the reason for all the movement?
Well, I just think they just were trying to find somewhere that they wanted to settle down. I mean, Dad hadn't spent much time in Turkey when he was younger. He'd moved away at quite a young age, and so he hadn't served his military time there, and which is compulsory, or was compulsory at the time. And by the time they wanted him for military service, he had four children to support, and he couldn't leave them. And so basically I think they decided that, they would make a move, and they moved to Paris, lived there for a year, and in the meantime their visa for Australia came through. And so they got on the old Galileo Galilei cruise, the ship, and came over here in 1971. And Mum found out she was pregnant on the ship.
How big an influence on you have they both been? And I guess with that story as well, Laura?
Both of them, very much so. They're both incredible. They were both incredible people. We lost Dad about nearly 14 years ago. It's been a long time now. And we think of him fondly, but Mum's still, going out and playing bowls, and she's the life of the party with all her little old friends, and she's fantastic. And they've just been an incredible influence on the appreciation of family for me. Mm. Family is a really big thing.
But once they got to Australia too, when you hear stories of all that kind of movement of migrants coming to Australia, was there kind of a gratefulness and then a pressure on you girls to kind of, okay, we've landed, we're here?
Yeah, look, it was a struggle. My sisters were all pretty much, two of them were in school still. They were, I think, 11 and 12 at the time. And the other two were a bit older and started working pretty much after moving here. I was still a baby, so, you know, no pressure on me whatsoever. And I never, ever felt any pressure. My whole family made sure of that. We grew up a normal sort of middle class background, and dad worked as a jeweller, and mum worked, it was a sewing place. I can't remember the name of it, but it was pretty popular back. I think she worked for Burley, actually, sewing bras for Burley back in the day. So
I'm not going to make any uplifting jokes, but
you just did. And
how
so
fantastic.
Yeah, they were a great influence. And my sisters obviously were a big influence on me. My eldest sister is 20 years older than me, so it's a big age gap.
Oh, that is. Yeah. And you've got two sisters living here in Canberra, haven't you?
I do. And they both are public servants.
No shame in that, Laura.
No, not at all. My sister was I was 15 when one of my sisters moved to Canberra, and then I followed her when I, you know, got into university, and decided that Canberra would be a good place for me to live away from home without really living away from home, because I could still move in with my sister and she still did my ironing and my cooking and everything for me. So I was a little spoiled.
or just a bit smart, Laura.
Yeah, very smart, because I felt like I'd moved away from home legitimately. So, and it was great. I mean, I moved there for university, did a communications degree at the University of Canberra. So it was wonderful.
But just to head back to you, to that, you know, as I said, a bit of a classic Australian story, really, and you being the little Aussie of the family, but
very much so.
Would you describe your childhood and all the kind of influences on you, you know, as you got to towards your teenage years?
Look, if you've seen my big fat Greek wedding,
which I love,
it's, you know, look, we had big family gatherings every weekend. You know, my family was always around. My sisters, my two eldest sisters, had two boys and two girls, and so they were closer in age to me. They're sort of 5 and 7 years younger than me, so they were pretty much like my brothers and sisters, my equivalent of brothers and sisters. So I spent a lot of time with them, and so I ended up being the oldest one of those guys. And so I used to, you know, play dress ups with them and organize them and do plays with them and perform with them and all that sort of stuff. And school for me, I went to public school and had a really good education. I loved going to public school. I pretty much was the only person with a 14-letter surname at school. It was a very Aussie kind of school, and I loved it. I made some great friends, some great lifelong friends, and some really good teachers along the way as well, who really cared about what happened to their students. And you know, it was one of those teachers, my English teacher throughout high school, who was my big influence on me to want to become a journalist. So.
Fantastic. Laura Chilingirian is my guest this afternoon. She's heading to be amongst us. She's going to present breakfast for the next 6 weeks on 666, which is so great. And it's a little bit of a homecoming. As you can hear, Canberra is part of Laura's story. But so is singing. And, of course, in this spot, Laura, we ask people to choose music, which you've done beautifully for us. But when did you know you could sing?
I started singing in choirs from the age of about 8, I think. I think I was always singing at home, but I joined choirs and things at school from about the age of 8, and started doing singing lessons when I was about 15. And my teacher used to always say to me, "You've got a very mature voice. You sound, you know, like an adult singing." And so it was a very special thing for me. I loved it. When I was 11, I was chosen to be a soloist at the Opera House to sing in a big choral concert,
wow,
which was great fun. So that was quite the experience at the age of 11. Mm. And when I was 15, I was nearly 16, my mum's birthday was coming up, and I decided her favourite singer is Edith Piaf. So I decided to learn La Vie en Rose in French, and sang it for her at her birthday. And I recently sang it again at her 80th 4 years ago. So haven't forgotten it after all these years.
If only we had your version now.
No. Let's play the original. It's much better.
We will play a bit and we'll come back to you. Thanks so much, Laura. Parle tout bas, revois la vie en rose. So I'm wondering if I pulled down the level. Are we hearing Laura sing? Laura?
With my microphone off, yes.
Laura Chilingirian is my guest this afternoon, heading to be part of our 666 family, for 6 weeks anyway, on Monday. And such a gorgeous song. So how's your French?
No, terrible. Although, having said that, my mother, growing up in Egypt, they learn Arabic and French. That's their first two languages they learn. And so she still thinks and speaks in French, particular words. So she'll speak to me in Armenian but use a French word instead of the Armenian word. And I have no idea what the Armenian word is for many things because I only know the French word for them.
So you're brought up speaking bilingual?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I am. I speak Armenian and English reasonably fluently. My Armenian's not great, but, you know, I can get by. But that's it, just the two.
So you speak to your mum in Armenian?
A mix of English and Armenian.
Can you give us a little burl?
What would you like me to say to you? Inch kuz SSM kezi, which is, what would you like me to say to you?
You've done it. I know, it's such a dumb question, isn't it? But I don't think, Armenian, I don't know if I would be familiar with hearing it. You know, you've got to get
your
ear
in. No, it's a really unusual language because there's no other language quite like it. Even the alphabet looks completely different to anything.
And when your parents arrived here, did they find an Armenian community or...?
Yeah, Dad was involved with the Armenian church in Chatswood for a while there. I grew up Catholic, but Armenians, most of them are Orthodox, Armenian, Greek Orthodox. So we grew up sort of involved with the Armenian community a fair bit. We used to go to things called Barahanteses, which was big dances, basically. So you'd have the band playing and the big, you know, dinners come out and people would get up and dance and it was a lot of fun.
Now, Laura, you say that, talking about major influences, which we love to do when we're starting to get to know someone, you talk about working at a local newspaper at 15 and call that a bit of a turning point. Tell me about that.
It was the Mount Druitt Standard. And I got work experience through there for 2 weeks while I was in year 10. And I went along and thought, oh, you know, this will be great, work in a newspaper. And a friend of mine, one of the other girls my age, also worked at, I think it was the Daily Telegraph at the time. And all she did was make coffee for 2 weeks. But because I worked at a small newspaper, I actually got the chance to go out and do interviews and meet people and write stories that were actually printed in the paper, which was really exciting for a 15-year-old. And I even did a story about an exchange program and ended up getting an exchange student from the United States who lived with us for 6 months. So that was all quite a big influence on me. But at the time, I remember thinking to myself, yes, I want to be a journalist. No, I don't want to be a print journalist. So for me, it was radio all the way.
Why not a print journalist?
I just didn't like it. I just didn't like the idea that you spend so much time on one story. I love the immediacy of radio and I love being able to chase so many different stories and just get a general all-round knowledge of so much.
You must have loved seeing your byline as a 15-year-old.
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. I think Mum might have it somewhere, the article, gorgeous. But that's about it.
You are on 666 and Laura Chilingirian is my guest this afternoon and Karen's just texted saying, wow, Laura, can't wait to hear you in action each morning.
Oh,
welcome. That's the kind of community we are.
Yes,
you know this.
Yes,
you know,
I know.
This.
I visit all the time.
So in terms of... You were determined from that age, were you? From 15, journalism was it for
you? Yeah, pretty much. That
was
it. That was it. And I went off. I got my high school degree and decided that I would get my first. I got into the University of Western Sydney initially, and went there for 1 year, and then decided that I wanted to be independent, as I said, and moved to Canberra, lived with my sister and her best friend. And we had a great time. I just loved being in Canberra and just having my independence. You know, did my communications degree. I spent 3 years there. So I did another 2 years of my Bachelor of Arts and then did another year as a grad dip in broadcast journalism. But in the meantime, I also started volunteering at CSPR, which was a community radio station. At the time, it still exists. It's called Art Sound FM, yes. I understand. And we used to, we had the best time at CSPR. I became involved with a lot of people who were already in radio, which was great. And I got a real hands-on experience. There was a place in Queanbeyan called the School of Arts Cafe.
Oh, yes.
and do you remember it?
Oh, yes. When I came to Canberra, it was still in full swing. Yeah.
Bill and Pat used to run it, Bill and Pat Stevens. And we used to go for CSPR and record all the Australian legends. And we recorded them for a series of CDs. And there were, you know, there was Jill Perryman, there was Lorraine Desmond, there was Jeannie Little. Just so many incredible. Geraldine Turner. Is that her name?
Yes, yeah. It is.
Yeah. It was just incredible. We recorded a young David Campbell at the time when he first started out doing musical theatre. And I also took the opportunity to sit down and do one-on-ones with them, exactly like you're doing with me right now, for the radio station. Mm. So I would sit down with them, play some of their songs and have a chat with them for an hour, and it was fabulous.
Because that's bit of a sweet spot for you, isn't it, in terms of your you know, your love of music and singing.
And absolutely. And they're on reel-to-reel somewhere.
Oh, I wonder where they are.
Yeah, probably in my sister's garage somewhere. But I don't know how I'd go about converting them now.
Oh, just bring them into our lovely,
I'm sure,
lovely people at 666. Oh, they will come down. Technical services will be at the window waving at me.
That's it. I also met one of my best friends at university who was also into the media, and he was doing a similar course to me, and we just hit it off, and we're still friends to this day. And you know, he's a producer and freelancer and does lots of amazing stuff as well. So,
and what was UC like then? Because of course it's changed a lot in the.
I have no idea what it's like now. But I loved it. It used to have that big grassed area in the middle, and we used to spend a lot of time on that grassed area. I even remember going into a library every so often.
You've got quite a few formal qualifications there, Laura.
I also was very much into, because I love deadlines, the reason I chose radio, I used to do my assignments at the last second. Yep. I was the worst. I'd have friends who would start it the day after, and the day after, you know, we'd be given the assignment, and I'd be working on it at 4 o'clock in the morning the day it was due to be handed in, typing it on a typewriter, printing it out. So there you go.
I'm very familiar with that story. In fact, I always describe myself as getting a PhD in excuses for why essays were late. In fact, I got one turned around from a D to an A minus.
Wow, with that's incredible.
Just with the power of my argument, Laura, but that's all about me. You are on 666. This is about you, the fabulous Laura Chilingirian, who is coming to present Breakfast from next week, for 6 weeks, and is a bit of a homecoming for her in many ways, because you can hear her deep Canberra background. Just to get another song in before we go to the news headlines, Laura, and you've chosen Prince.
I have. This actually, well, significant because he died this year and, you know, that was devastating. But I used to own a cassette of this album while I was at University of Canberra, and my best friend was the one that suggested it, and he said, it's basically a news bulletin in a song, so how can you not pick this song?
One of the great songs.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking, I remember too when I first heard that, and he just went, what is that? And since he died, actually, that's not one of the songs that usually gets played, Laura. Thank you so much.
Oh, my pleasure. Yeah. Absolutely love it.
Laura Chilingirian is my guest, and she's coming to be part of the 666 family for 6 weeks anyway, from next week, and we thought we'd take time to get to know Laura. Laura, I'm getting texts and we're getting phone calls to say that Bill Stevens plays recordings on Art Sound of the School of Art Performances.
Oh, fantastic. I'll have to pop in and say hi.
Oh, he would love that. He would love that. You are on 666 Afternoons. It's 28 to 2, and I know it's a little bit unusual, but I think you can hear she's really worth making a special exception for. Laura Chilingirian is the new ABC Breakfast presenter for the next 6 weeks, and we're just getting to know her a little. Laura, you're still there with me?
A little.
Well, how much
are you delving very deep here, Alex.
well, just guide me, Laura, because you're an expert in this regard. And actually, Bevan Noble's just tweeted saying, I think Bill Stevens plays some of the recordings Laura made on his Red Velvet and Wild Baronia show.
Fantastic.
6 p.m. Well, Sundays.
My sister and I used to always be there every Sunday night or Saturday night whenever there was a show. It was great fun.
Oh, what a great thing
miss
to do.
Miss that place.
Well, yeah. But isn't it tremendous that you did record those fantastic singers?
Yeah.
You got involved in the music scene locally too. You didn't ever do a performance yourself at
I did one or two, yeah.
Tell me more.
I got involved with the amateur music theatre scene in Canberra for a while there. I did a number of shows, in fact, did Godspell, Grease. There was a show called Sing for Your Supper, which was a Rodgers and Hart tribute show, and Hair as well.
And I'll make a pause there. Hair is fairly famous for, you know, getting your kit off.
Yeah, some of my kit got off. Hopefully not too many people remember
Laura,
that.
I love you. Good on you.
And you know what? Some of the people I was in those shows with now work in Parliament House. And I actually did a stint at Parliament House a while back. I'm not going to name names just to protect privacy, but literally protect privacy. But I did get involved with a lot of musical theatre and I loved every second of it. It was great fun. Mm. Canberra has a really good theatre scene because it's so close-knit.
Oh, fantastic. So who was in the audience? But we'll leave that there.
Do you remember the Canberra Cannons?
Oh, yeah.
I probably shouldn't say this.
But they were all in the audience.
The basketball team came to see my performance on opening night and gave me a standing ovation. It was quite embarrassing.
But that was because you attended every Cannons game, didn't you?
Yeah, I used to report on it and I even sang the national anthem at a couple of the games too back then.
So what was that about? Tell me about your passion for basketball.
Oh, I've just always loved it. It's great fun. Mm. It's so fast moving and I'm looking forward to coming along to a Capitals game actually.
Oh, no, the Capitals are great.
Yeah.
Great Canberra team. Yeah.
I eventually moved to Adelaide and followed the 36ers there for a while as well. So good friends with Phil Smythe.
Oh, and do you play sport yourself, Laura?
No, not at all. Much better at observing sport than playing.
Gives the vocal cords a workout instead.
That's it. I'd rather talk about it.
You beautifully, in these days, I suppose, of streaming and video shops, I think there was just one in the Canberra Times, a story saying, you know, that, you know, of course, the digital world was the end of renting videos. But you worked in one.
That's where I worked while I was at university. I worked at
it's very Muriel's Wedding of you.
Yeah, I loved it. And we used to play, like, we'd play Muriel's Wedding. We would play movies like Dirty Dancing and Grease and Dance Around the Store. It was down at Chisholm and Caldwell. There were still videos, of course, and Laserdisc was the brand new technology at the time.
Came and went pretty quickly, Laserdisc, didn't
it? Yeah, it was because halfway through the movie you had to get up and flip it over to play the other part of the movie. Who came up with that?
It's funny because Julian brought up the KTEL record. Remember the KTEL when it sort of flipped through all the records?
Oh, yes.
And then when you brought up Laserdisc, I thought, yeah, that was kind of a blip.
It came and went very quickly.
But you had some pretty famous customers.
I did. Two Canberra Raiders at the time, Laurie Daly and Ricky Stewart, were among my regular customers. I can't tell you what they rented.
I knew you wouldn't reveal their choices. So I'm going to take the audience there because I'm reckoning for Ricky, it's rom-coms. And for Laurie Daly, with his bit of, you know, farming background, I reckon kind of historical romances set in rural settings. Am I right, Laura? Am I right?
I'm pretty sure that's spot on, Alex, actually. They can beg to differ, but we know better.
And Ricky, of course, well, both of them got on to be so famous in the sporting arena, but Ricky's actually a finalist in the ACT Australian of the Year nominations.
That's fantastic.
Yeah, this year because of all his work in autism and respite care, doing great things.
That's excellent.
Laura Chilingirian is my guest this afternoon. We're just having a chat ahead of her arrival, triumphant arrival, back in her favourite city in Australia, because you've worked in quite a few Australian cities, haven't you, as a journalist?
I have. I liked to move around, and that was a big thing. I always looked for the next challenge. And my mum, I'd finally settled back in Sydney after years of travelling around, and she, I said to her, I'm moving to Melbourne. And she said, really? And I said, I need a new challenge. She said, why do you need a new challenge? Can't you just be happy here? But I started off in Canberra at Mix and at 2CC and 2CA. And then I got a job in Goulburn at 2GN and worked there for a while. And then I moved to Adelaide, then to Sydney, then to Melbourne, back to Sydney. And now I'm coming to Canberra. Pretty much sums it all up.
And I'm smiling at your mum questioning this, given your parents.
I know. Thank you. She's one to talk.
What do you think that is about? You're just going where the opportunities are, Laura?
Yeah, I think that, you know, I had the opportunity to try new things and to live in new cities, and I wasn't too far from home. I did get a bit homesick in Adelaide. It was a couple of hours from Sydney, so I'd call my sister and cry, and she'd book me a flight home back in the day. But I was in my 20s, so forgive me for that. And I just loved the idea of meeting new people and working in different environments. It was great. And I loved being a tourist in all these cities that I got to live in.
How active a tourist are you?
Oh, I love travelling. I absolutely adore it. I try to get overseas every couple of years as well. So, you know, I've done the Inca Trail in Peru and travelled all over parts of Europe and done the United States a number of times. And, you know, my next on my list is Africa, and that's a big one for me. I'm really keen to do a safari.
And do you do this with friends or do you...?
Sometimes with my friend from Melbourne, who's a travel agent, which is very handy.
Oh, great.
I adore her, and we travel really well together because you know how difficult it is to travel with friends. Yep. And other times with my sisters and my brother-in-law, and you know, my brother-in-law and I want to kill each other sometimes, but we get along great.
But every 2 years, you just make it a thing.
Yeah, I try to just find somewhere new, and we just, you know, plan ahead and book away and go for it.
Do you think that's important as a journalist too?
Just as a human, I think. It's just so nice to be able to see parts of the world and to experience them and see the different cultures. I mean, we went to Egypt many years ago. It was before, you know, all the drama happened over there, and it was almost like a homecoming, funnily enough. I didn't realise how much I would have a connection with Egypt. I absolutely loved it. I've got a lot of cousins all over the world as well, especially in Cairo. So that was a really good opportunity
to see
family.
So quite emotional. And you just felt that connection.
Yeah. It was a beautiful place. Incredible.
Can't wait to go there one day. Laura Chilingirian is my guest, and I've got a text for you from Damien. He says, Alex, I saw Laura in a few of those musicals like Grease, Godspell and Hair. Yes, the girl can sing! Exclamation mark. Great time to be involved in amateur theatre back in the early to mid-90s, although Laura probably won't want to be reminded of the decade.
That's hilarious.
I think... it's not from your musical theatre, but you went on to work with Andrew Denton, didn't you?
I did in Sydney, which was fabulous. And I spent about 2.5 years working with him and Amanda Keller, and at times Mick Molloy when Amanda was on maternity leave. And I had such an incredible time with him. I was news director at Triple M at the time, and Andrew was just an absolute pleasure to work with. He's such a perfectionist, but such a good guy. He's just an incredible talent. So
and
I loved it.
And to work with such a creative powerhouse like that, what was that like?
It was intimidating at first, and he had heard me on the weekends, and I think he heard me singing with the afternoon program with Club Veg one day. I sang the traffic report, and so he had this genius idea that I could be the singing newsreader, and I said, no way. I said, I love the idea of singing the news, but I also want to keep my credibility just a little bit. So we agreed not to do that, but we did have a great time together, and he did make me sing at one point.
And through the years he's been great at championing the talents of women, hasn't he?
He really has. He's really good that way, and I think he just champions what he considers talent. He's a really good guy, and really respects people, and I have a lot of respect for him as well.
So Laura, I'm about to play Hip to Be Square.
Tell me about this song.
Tell me about this.
So Andrew used to have a segment called the Musical Challenge, which he would get, you know, the Wiggles to come in and do an AC/DC song, or he would get Nickelback come in and, you know, do Love Will Keep Us Together. And he'd just totally give you a completely different song to what a band would be used to playing. And he heard that I used to perform in a band. I used to be in a cover band in the 90s called the Squid Munchies all around Sydney. We used to perform at gigs and things. And so he said, why don't you get the Squid Munchies in and you can do a musical challenge? And I said, okay. And he said, well, how about you involve the whole newsroom? So our sports person, Russell Barwick, our other sports person, Damien Carbon, and the entire newsroom basically took part in this musical challenge. And Andrew, of course, picked a song by Huey Lewis and the News. So here you go. Take it away, boys.
It's hip to be square.
Oh, no.
I like my bands in business suits.
Russell?
I watch them on TV. I'm working out most every day.
He's a man.
I'm watching what I eat. You see them on the freeway. It don't look like a lot of fun.
Go cover.
But don't you try. It's hip to be square. It's hip to be square.
Should we help him out, mate?
It's hip to be square.
That's better.
That's cleaned it up.
This is on the back page of the Herald. Oh, well.
There you go.
Laura! Laura, I love it.
Oh, it was a lot of fun.
We're all getting a little bit excited. You're coming. You've got to. Oh. Because, you know, there's a really thriving music scene here. Yes. They'll be lining up at the breakfast door saying she's in town.
Oh, jeez.
Laura Chilingirian.
Don't do much of it nowadays.
Look, I think take 6 weeks. Johnny Northside said, great chat, Alex. Looking forward to hearing Laura on breakfast, which is great. And it's from next week. We are really looking forward to that, because that song, like your note perfect in that, and it's the timing's really quite tough in that song. It's not easy.
Our band was pretty fantastic, so yeah. They still exist, actually. Okay. Ones, you still do some gigs around Sydney.
And you're still singing around Sydney?
No. Someone else does it for me now. It's all good.
You still got the kind of little hankering, though?
Oh, yeah, I do occasionally. We did a 25-year reunion gig back in July, which was great fun. So we all got up and had a bit of a go, all the old band members. So it was great.
What's been your favourite job so far? You've been with the ABC for nearly 8 years, is that right?
I have. I've been with News Radio, which I've been really loving. It's such a good, again, the word challenge comes up, but it really has been, because I never worked as a producer before. So I got to do presenting and producing there, and just been covering such an incredible range of stories, you know, from light kind of fluffy stories to, you know, some really horrible, serious things and politics and a bit of everything. So all sorts of things throughout the years, which has been great.
Why did you decide to apply for a job at the ABC? You'd spent a lot of time in commercial radio.
I had. I think if I'd gone to the ABC in my 20s, I don't think I would have enjoyed it as much. I think I was ready. I was nearly I was late mid-30s when I joined the ABC. And it was just the right time for me. I think I'd enjoyed commercial radio. And, you know, I love the fact that commercial radio is... It takes a different approach to news, and it really does. It's less and less so nowadays, but it was a really different kind of approach to news for me, and it gave me a chance to take it a little more seriously. I've really appreciated that. I think appreciated it more now than I would have in my 20s.
Well, just explain that a little bit more. What do you mean by that?
I just don't think I was mature enough to really appreciate it back then. That's pretty much it.
Just took some time, and
growing
now
up, yeah,
you've hit your patch.
Yeah, absolutely, and it's, you know, it's been something that I've absolutely loved. So I really like it's an incredible team too at News Radio, because it's such a mix of experience. You've got, you know, your younger journalists who are just starting their careers, and ones that have been there for such a long time, and who have so much experience, like your Marius Bensons and Sandy Aloisis. It's just incredible to work with such a range of people.
Who's been sort of major mentors and influences for you in your journalism career so far?
Well, when I was working at Austereo back in the day, Alison Droer was my news director, and she was probably my favourite boss I ever had. She was an incredible influence and taught me just to be myself on air, which was great. I think she actually works in Canberra now. At Southern Cross Austereo, funnily enough. Just throughout the years, I mean, I've had some great mentors at News Radio, which has been incredible, just given me a real appreciation for it. You know, Steve Chase and Sandy has been great. And it's Debbie Spillane with her, you know, passion for sport. She only retired earlier this year, but she is incredible to learn from. So, yeah, it's been a really good career. And Andrew, of course, was fantastic as well.
Mm. And is that something you take seriously too now as a mentor to younger people coming through?
Always, always. I absolutely love taking people under my wing. I've always liked the idea of helping, you know, young people who have a lot of talent, who are really keen to come through and learn the ropes and to be given a chance, because that's the hardest part when you're, especially nowadays, trying to get into this industry, because there are less and less jobs out there. And I recently did some mentoring at AFTERS and listened to the students, you know, do their news bulletins and present programs, and there's some good talent coming out, and, you know, I just hope there are jobs out there for them.
Yeah, that's a really good point. I mean, with the digital revolution, there was also predictions, you know, 10, 15 years ago that radio would die. In fact, we've gone from strength to strength. What are you making of the media world and our place in it?
Look, I just think the fact that we're embracing, you need to be more multi-skilled these days. You need to be able to do the digital side of things, and you just need to be across more. And I think the more skills you have, the more of an asset you are. And you need to know how to cross over and use all of those things into whatever you are doing. So, I mean, radio, obviously social media has become a huge part of that, and it's a great way to include your listeners and to, you know, to talk to them and for them to talk to you and to give you feedback. And it's just, you know, so easy to do. It's just I think it's a real asset, and I think we need to make the most of it.
Do you have young people in your life going, why not television?
Oh, I've always had, like, my sisters, you know, my sister Sylvia, my mum, pretty much all of them say, oh, you know, are you going to eventually, this was earlier on in my career, why don't you do television? Why don't you do television? Originally it was because I have curly hair. I never would have gotten a job in television, but nowadays I could, but I don't really want to. I love the immediacy of radio. In fact, when I was in Canberra, I did work experience at Capital. And I worked there for about 6 months on the weekends. I used to just go in off my own bat and just help out there. And I enjoyed it. But again, it was that whole same as print. I didn't want to spend a whole day working on one or two stories. Mm. I liked the idea of covering many stories at once and as they happened.
Isn't that an extraordinary thing to say? I have curly hair, so that wasn't going to work for TV.
Back in those days, really, it was true.
It's pretty...
Yeah.
It's pretty frustrating.
Yeah.
What is wrong with curly hair, everyone?
I do straighten it every so often now, but I still embrace the curls.
Laura, and all I did was eat my crusts and as a child, you know.
Trying to get curly hair.
Think I'd put on weight, you know. Never got curly hair. We always want what we can't have. You're right.
That's it.
Laura Chilingirian is my guest this afternoon, and we're having a chat. It will be available as a podcast, by the way, if you've missed part of the conversation, because Laura's, you know, she's going to be one of us for 6 weeks anyway on Monday. And Jody says, you might have covered it already, but what's the heritage of Laura Sinap? Yes, we have. Yes, we have
we
covered
did,
that.
We did. Armenian.
Yes, it's Armenian, Jody, but you can go back and listen to the podcast because that'll be up very soon. And cracking name, says Jody, and she sounds like a lot of fun. Looking
Jody.
Forward to hearing her in the mornings, Jody. We can guarantee that. And Gordo in Canberra is now offering recommendations for a fabulous safari company in Africa.
Oh, wow, fantastic.
Saying it's a little like Survivor, but you come back a changed person.
Oh, I don't know. The Inca Trail nearly was my undoing, actually.
that's not easy, is it?
No.
A bit of walking and a bit of climbing in that, Laura. Laura, will I get squeeze a little bit more music in before we wrap up? Now tell me about this choice.
So in the last couple of years, strangely enough, I've got such a diverse range of taste in music, and I've always been anti-country music, which is a horrible thing to say, but that's the way it's been. And just the last couple of years, I've really embraced it, and I've just fallen in love with the lyrics. For me, it's all about the lyrics of songs. And country music to me is all about the lyrics and telling stories. And I discovered this band earlier this year at a country music festival up in Ipswich, and they're an Australian band from the central coast of New South Wales called the Adam Eckersley Band, and I absolutely fell in love with this song when I heard it. It's called Long Enough to Disappear.
Kind of as country as it gets, Laura.
It's a mix of country and rock. I just love it. It's
yeah,
just beautiful.
No, I love country. So, but I thought, gee, for someone who doesn't like country music, that's a really country song. It's fantastic. Great choice.
I love it.
Tremendous. Laura Chilingirian is my guest. And just in these final minutes, I notice your passion for film and TV. You love concerts and live theatre, as we've heard. Best film of the year so far, Laura, for you?
Oh, my goodness, putting me on the spot there. Oh, I can't even think. This year.
Favourite film. That is a bit of a mean question.
I did see Sully recently. That was very good.
Well, yeah, I'm a Tom Hanks fan, so fantastic.
Very impressed with that. And Clint Eastwood did one earlier this year. I'm just trying to think of what it was.
Which I didn't see.
I thought it was fabulous, and I can't remember it. Can you believe it?
And favourite TV shows?
I'm a Doctor Who fan.
Huge contingent of Breakfast
listeners.
All the
science junkies out there will love me. Yep.
This is the home of the CSRO and, you know, Education Institute.
Yes, exactly. I'm really into The Fall at the moment.
Oh, my God.
I love Nashville, obviously, for country music reasons. Empire is another big one that I really enjoy, the American show. And I love Aussie stuff. I love Clever Man. I thought that was a fabulous first season.
Really.
And I'm really into The Wrong Girl at the moment. It's kind of cute, and it's my guilty pleasure, I think.
Yeah, I interviewed the writer of The Fall because I became...
Oh, wow.
Because I can't deal with violence usually, and I wondered why I was so...
addicted to it.
And I know season 3 is going to air, isn't it, at the moment?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah. Don't have those kind of... I don't have that format available to me. I'll wait till it comes across. Laura, cracking chat. Thank you so much,
Alex.
Yeah, taking time. Have you got to go and do something now for News Radio? Or
yes, I'm on air at 6, so my shift starts now.
Go and lie down and stare at the ceiling. Have a cup of tea.
I'll love
seeing you next week.
I'm really looking forward
to it. Welcome back to one of your stomping grounds. And thanks so much for taking the time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Nice to meet you this week too.
Me too. Thanks. Bye, Alex.
Bye. Laura Chilingirian, who's coming to present Breakfast for 6 weeks from Monday. And nice nice to get all your responses to Laura, who does sound like just a gorgeous person.
Thanks for listening to this 666 ABC Canberra podcast. To subscribe to this or any of our podcasts, go to abc.net.au/Canberra.